You have found the Drop Podcast, recorded live at the spacious STL All Sports Radio Studios. The Drop is an unbiased, in-depth hockey podcast dedicated to the St. Louis Blues and all the hot topics within the NHL. So tell the ref, you don't mind the game misconduct penalty. You were headed to the locker room anyway to listen to The Drop. Here's your host, Lance Descott.
In this show, we're going to talk about the Blues trade with the Edmonton Oilers to get Nail Yakupov. The Blues did not give up too much to get him. They gave up a forward in the ECHL, I believe that's where he's playing right now, Zach Pachiro, and a conditional third-round pick in 2017. The conditions on that pick are if Yakupov scores more than 15 goals this season, it turns into a second-round pick in 2018. I think most people think that the Blues got the better of this deal, considering that Zach Pachiro, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, is an okay player. I don't know if he's ever going to make it to the NHL. If he does, I think he's several years off. I think he's a third or fourth line player if he does make it. So, you know, in my mind, the Blues got a really good deal with this. I'm going to get into more to my opinion about Yakupov and how he's going to fit in with the Blues. But first, let's go ahead and hear from Ken Hitchcock and see what he has to say about the Yakupov trade and what he thinks about Yakupov and his experience with offensive-type players as him and how he can fit into the Blues system.
What's your thoughts on Nail and bringing him in here and what kind of a player you're getting?
Well, we're getting a guy that... you know, has obviously offensive ability that hasn't been able to meet the standards of his own and the team. But there's lots of guys that get second opinions and second chances that take advantage of it. And, you know, I have a lot of experience in dealing with this type of player. So I think given the opportunity that he's going to get here, I think we can work with him. We did our homework. They did their homework. You know, obviously, Edmonton had a plan. They wanted to get a defenseman and needed to open up space, and he became available. And we have an opening here because Sobotka didn't come, and it put us in a position where we could put another skilled forward in that position. So I think it's a win-win for both organizations. And now it's up to, on our side, it's up to us to work with Yak and get him up to speed.
How much emphasis do you, as coaches and as players, feel you have to put in to get him to buy in? I know a lot of it's going to have to come from him, but how much of that is going to fall on coaches and players to help him with the process?
Well, I can tell you we're going at it different than most people think, and that is that he has a skill set and we want to enhance the skill set. And we look at the stuff without the puck, it's going to take time and we're in no hurry. We're not going to turn a player into a defensive specialist, and we don't anticipate doing that at all. We want to take what his strengths are and get him to really focus on that. And then the other stuff is teachable and we'll work with him. It might take 6 months, it might take 4 months before the team stuff comes into play. But what he does well, we're going to really push him to do the things he does well. We want him doing it every day and having the confidence to do it. The rest of the stuff we'll teach him and we'll nudge it along, but we're in no hurry right now.
Is there any chance that, I realize he has his shortcomings and he's going to have to learn to play a little better, but could it be at all his situation? I mean, three coaches, different systems, young team. Is there a chance he comes in here and is able to blossom a little quicker than people think?
Well, I think he's going to get to play with mature players, so that's going to help a lot. So he's going to get to play with experienced players, which is, you know, there's no pressure. He's just got to come and do what he does best. You know, we want to take what he does best is he shoots the puck and he gets himself in scoring positions. Well, we know that. We want to enhance that part of his game, and then the rest will grow gradually. And like I said, we've had experience working with these type of players. It's not a lot different than Robbie Fabry or these type of players, because you can't make an offensive player a 200-foot player overnight. That takes time, and if you lose sleep over making a guy a 200-foot player at 21, 22 years old or whatever, you're not going to be successful. So our thoughts are just what he does well, we're going to really enhance and try to augment with the people we play him with, and then turn him loose and then nudge the other stuff that's the team part, nudge it along and see if we can get him up to speed here in a couple months.
Does he fit in on that third line?
I don't know where he's going to play, but he's going to play with mature players. He's going to play with guys that are veteran guys that know how to play the game and can manage the ice, so we can turn him loose a little bit.
By opening day, he's
in opening day. Yep. He's playing in Chicago. So he's coming here today. He'll be at practice on Monday, and practicing with us Monday and Tuesday. He's in the lineup. He's playing in Chicago.
So Yakupov will be in the lineup on Wednesday in Chicago for the Blues opening game. Nice to see. Hopefully he melds a little bit with some of the other Blues players. I really like Tarasenko's comment when asked about Yakupov. He strayed away from his talents, because I think most people know this guy's got talent. I think he just wore out his welcome in Edmonton, and I think the system they're playing was not good for him. I think he needs a little different personnel around him than what Edmonton had, and he could be very successful. Tarasenko said he's a great guy to be around. He's been out to dinner with him a few times. Doesn't know him, real, real well, but knows him enough to know what type of person he is. And I'm the type of guy that likes those good guys on your team. You can't have enough of those type of guys, especially if he's got potential like Yakupov has. Let's go ahead and hear some of his past goals with Edmonton so you guys can see what he brings to the table.
And this one as well. Trying to kick it over here to McDavid with his face. And McDavid on the move. Look at him go. Gets it out in front. Scores! Yakupov! McDavid to Yakupov. Just like that. And the Oilers have the lead. Richardson. Cassie. Kuliak clears it up. And suddenly driving in is Yakupov. Goes to the net. Gets the goal. Yakupov just dropped the shoulder and drove.
And Lucas Pisa can't connect with Zach Cassian.
That's the closest you've ever had, guys. And I actually played for the Ducks for 3 years. Well, you with a long shot, and that is blocked. Good news for the Oilers. Matt Hendricks is back on the bench. Arcavello is stopped, but Fane carries on. Fane with a shot that goes just like out in front. Yakupov scores! Yakupov, without a goal in his last six games coming in, has given the Oilers a 2-0 lead.
Belanger, clean win. Schultz can't get it through. Here's a shot. Rebound. Scores! Neil Yakupov!
Belongs the other for the faceoff. He wins it cleanly. Taylor Hall grabs the loose puck and has the hand eye for Neil Yakupov.
That was just a taste of Neil Yakupov's talent. Didn't want to put in 50 highlights and have it go an hour if you guys get bored. So I just put a little bit of a taste in there for you. The way I see this trade is this. Let's break it down. It's a win-win situation for the Blues. I mean, this is a guy that's got a great ceiling. And I think, like I said earlier, kind of wore out his welcome. I don't think Edmonton was using him properly. They've got new management in there over the last couple of years. They wanted to give this guy a chance, and they actually tried to trade him last year to the Devils, and the Devils just basically said no and ended up going in a different direction. But I know fans in Edmonton are very upset at the general manager, you know, for getting rid of Tyler Hall and now Yakupov, but they've made some changes with the, you know, their team, and they're trying to go in a different direction. So I fully understand what they did, but hey guys, the Blues gave up nothing in my mind. And we all know about the NHL, you know, second and third round picks don't always turn out to be great players. Sometimes they do. But if Neil Yakupov can give the Blues, let's say 15 goals, it's great. I mean, it's awesome. Are you going to get that from Ty Ratty? I don't think you were. And, you know, it's awesome for the Blues to be able to do something like this. How many players can you say have this type of potential that maybe the Blues could nurture it out of him? Maybe he'll feel more comfortable playing with Tarasenko. You know, maybe he'll feel more comfortable with a more experienced coach like Ken Hitchcock this year, moving forward with Coach Mike. So, you know, I think it's awesome. And I think most Blues fans, you guys will agree with me, it is. That's the positive note. On a sad note, Jake Allen's injury could be worse than what the Blues are leading on to. You know, Carter Hutton came in and looked decent against Chicago, but Chicago did hit the post, if not once, but twice. So I think the Blues may be in trouble, and this is what really concerned me about Jake Allen. I think he's a very good goaltender, but as I've said in my previous podcast, if he gets hurt, long-term, I'm not talking three or four games, I'm talking long-term, the Blues could be in trouble. And it must be bad enough because the Blues have recalled Bennington. So Bennington is coming back, and we're going to have Carter Hutton and Bennington as the Blues combo, which is not as good as, of course, Elliott and Allen. But, you know, hey, let's move on and see what Carter Hutton can do. Hopefully this isn't a long-term solution and that Jake Allen's not hurt seriously. If he is, folks, this could be a long year for the Blues. Not saying Carter Hutton couldn't play 20 games, 25 games. I think if he plays more than that, we're in trouble. Hopefully we'll get an update on Jake Allen's injury, but the Blues are being very tight-lipped about it. But I would definitely read between the lines in the fact they called out Bennington. I wouldn't think they would call him up if Jake Allen's going to be available for the first game or two. So let's hope that doesn't happen to where he's gone for more than three or four games, but you just never know. We know he got hurt last year in Edmonton, and of course Elliott came in and played awesome in his absence. So maybe we can get three or four games out of Carter Hutton, and the Blues can steal, you know, two of those games and go 2-2, 3-1. That would be awesome. I want to thank everybody for joining me on this episode of the Drop Podcast.
This has been the Drop Podcast. You can email the Drop at theofficialdrop@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @officialthedrop or watch our videos on YouTube at tinyurl.com/thedroppodcast. Don't forget to subscribe or download this episode and past episode on iTunes, Stitcher.com, and ShoutEngine.com.